Good morning and welcome to the Heart of Christ Church, where we know God is good and all the time. And we also know that God has called us through His Son with three commands which sum up the entirety of the Bible: to love God, love others, and go with the gospel of His Son, our Savior Jesus the Christ. And that is what we try to do every day of our lives. And I continue that here with the teachings that we bring during our sermon time. And I just want to welcome everyone out there and simply say, if you are here with us — I don't say this very often — please like and subscribe. And for those folks out there, yeah, you folks have liked and subscribed, you're here today. But we definitely would love to have you as part of our family, whether it be the family of Christ on the internet or the family of Christ in person. It does not matter, for we are the family of Christ. Can I get an amen, church? So however you are joining us, we are grateful for you. And if these sermons give you blessing, please remember what we ask: be blessed and be a blessing. Today's sermon is entitled, "The Power of the Resurrection, Living in Power." This sermon could literally be broken down into many, and actually it's going to be as I look at the different portions of living in the power of the resurrection. But today I want to talk about a very particular type of power that is brought into the life of the church in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that power that I am talking about is the Holy Spirit, and just what the Holy Spirit does and how the Holy Spirit works in just one aspect. So with that, I'd like you to take your Bibles, turn, if you would, to the book of Acts, to the book of Acts. We're going to be in the first chapter. We're going to begin in verse 1. Now, I'm going to read a fairly lengthy portion of Scripture here, and so please bear with me, because as I said, you know, this is going to be a long read. From the first verse of the book of Acts, first chapter, we read this from the Word of God. "The first account I composed, Theophilus, about all that Jesus began to do and teach, until the day He was taken up to heaven, after He had by the Holy Spirit given orders to the apostles whom He had chosen. To these He also presented Himself alive after His suffering, by many convincing proofs, appearing to them over a period of 40 days, and speaking of the things concerning the kingdom of God. Gathering them together, He commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, which, He said, you heard from Me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they were asking Him, saying, 'Lord, is this the time You are restoring the kingdom to Israel?' He said to them, 'It is not for you to know the times or the epochs which the Father has fixed by His own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be My witnesses both in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and even to the remotest part of the earth.' And after He had said these things, He was lifted up while they were looking on, and a cloud received Him out of their sight. And as they were gazing intently into the sky while He was going, behold, two men in white clothing stood beside them. They also said, 'Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into the sky? This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come in just the same way as you have watched Him go into heaven.' Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which was near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey away. When they had entered the city, they went up to the upper room where they were staying, that is, Peter and John, James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas the son of James. These all, with one mind, were continually devoting themselves to prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. Now moving to chapter 2, and in the first verse of chapter 2, it says, when the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing of wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues as of fire, distributing themselves, and they rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit was given them utterance. Now there were Jews living in Jerusalem, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the crowd came together and were bewildered because each one of them was hearing them speak in his own language. They were amazed and astonished, saying, why are not all these who are speaking Galatians? And how is it that we each hear them in our own language to which we were born? Parthians and Medes, Emaites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Pygira and Pamphylia, Egypt and the districts of Libya around Cyre, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them in our own tongues speaking of the mighty deeds of God. And they all continued in amazement and great perplexity, saying to one another, what does this mean? Blessed be the word of our Lord. Amen. What does this mean? I ended with that. Why? Because it's a question we need to ask. It's a question we need to answer. What does this mean? Believers will receive the Holy Spirit, who is the power of God unto the salvation of the church. We need to remember that you and I are not the salvation of the church. We do not bring anyone unto salvation. Only the Holy Spirit brings people unto salvation. But the Holy Spirit pours out power upon each and every one of us unto that work, because God has chosen to work the miracle of salvation through you and through me. Together we are the church of Jesus Christ. God wants participation. He does not want spectatorship. Our world wants us to be spectators. Why do you think we have so many pro football games and hockey games and baseball games and basketball games? They run these things year-round. Why? Because the world wants us to be spectators of what we all call the boob tube. They want us to participate in a way that disassociates our being and solely engages our mind. For what? What do we call what they bring to us? We call it programming, don't we? Yes, we do. Why? Because that's exactly what they're doing. They're programming us what to think. The Holy Spirit is here to program us as well, to bring to us the things of God in the power of God unto the salvation of our friends and our family and our very selves. And that is a truth that we all need to understand. For God is working through us, and that is Holy Spirit power in each and every one of us throughout our being. When you and I are working in this world, we can work in our own physical strength. How many of you have physical strength? Every one of us has physical strength, don't we? But how many of us have spiritual strength? We have very little spiritual strength. Yes, we are spirit beings, but we only have spiritual access unto death. Do you realize that? Because of sin in our lives. But if we are going to access life, then we have to access life-giving power. And it is through the resurrection of Jesus Christ that we enter into a relationship which brings us to the place where we can receive the power of life. And that's where we find ourselves as the church of Jesus Christ. When Jesus told these people not to leave Jerusalem until they received power, don't you think there was a reason? Because if they'd have gone out into the world before they received the power of the Holy Spirit, before the Holy Spirit was prepared and readied for them, they would have been in their own strength to try and perpetuate this thing that we now know as the church. Why do you think our world tried to shut the church down in 2020? If you think it had to do with the virus, you are gravely mistaken, and I use that word gravely for a purpose. Because what they meant to do was put the church to death. Because if they can shut down the church, they believe they can shut down the Holy Spirit. But the reality is the church exists in each and every one of us. We are the living church of Jesus Christ. It does not have anything to do with a building. Can I get an amen, church? And that's where the evil one has lied to us. How many churches do we see out there in our society? We live here in this little town of Lebanon. Well, it's not a little town, it's a decent-sized town. I'm not sure exactly how many, what our population is. But I want to ask you this. When you drive through Lebanon and the surrounding little towns, how many churches are there? Yeah, I got one gentleman over here shaking his head. Yeah, I really don't know. I couldn't count them all. Yeah, exactly. Now my question is this. How many of those churches are full? You know they used to be. What's happened? We have been programmed to disassociate. We have been programmed that there are other things more important. And that programming has altered even those of us who find ourselves in the church. Because we would rather be somewhere else than here on a Sunday or on a Wednesday for Bible study, because I've got other things going on in my life. If you have life, there's nothing more important than addressing the one who gives you life. And that is God Himself through the power of His Holy Spirit. Can I get an amen, church? So everybody that said amen, I can expect to see a Bible study on the next Wednesday we meet. You're getting my point. The Holy Spirit is here. He is available to us. But only as we commit ourselves to Him. We need to understand this world is going to come at us and it is going to override us in everything that it does. We were just speaking here earlier this morning about how there seems to be this duplicity in life right now, where if you're on this side of things, all the laws come against you. But if you're on this side of the things, none of the laws apply to you. Is anybody else seeing that in our world? We're all seeing it. We're all waking up. God is opening our eyes for a very good reason. He has allowed this thing to go on for a period of time because we know we are coming to the end of days. We understand that the fullness of the Gentiles is coming in. And as that fullness comes in, so too are we going to see the power of the church rise up to sanctify those who are in Christ Jesus and to reach out for this last moment to receive unto it those who will come unto life. But we have to avail ourselves to the Holy Spirit. How do we do that? Turn in your Bibles to the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, please. The book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians. We are going to be in chapter 12 in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians, chapter 12. We're going to begin in verse 4. Verse 4. Of 1 Corinthians in the 12th chapter, thus saith the word of the Lord. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, and to another the effecting of miracles, and to another prophecy, and to another distinguishing of spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, and to another interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all things, distributing to each one individually just as He wills. For even as one, as the body is one, and yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, we were all made to drink of one Spirit, for the body is not one member, but many. Each and every one of us has been given gifts. God gives gifts to power the church through the Holy Spirit for the working of His kingdom on earth. You and I have the power within us to change the very face and fabric of this world. Just as Jesus changed the face and fabric of this world with His coming, look how big the church is. Seriously, how big it is. It reaches every continent around the world. And we are told that this message will be preached until everyone on the earth has heard this message. And we need to understand that that time is almost done. For the word has been going out for centuries. And yes, there are some people, groups that haven't heard. And I have people who will say to me, yeah, but you know, there are people in the inner cities of the United States that, you know, they never heard that Jesus Christ. Wait a minute. We need to understand something. Some people make the choice not to teach their children the things that we know. So they have made the choice for others. We can't be responsible for those things. There are things we cannot be responsible for, and I will not be responsible for, because God does not give me responsibility to them. But what does He give me responsibility to? He gives me responsibility to the gifts that He has given me. And that is something we each need to understand. God has given each of us something. In many cases, it's more than one something. Can I get an amen? Because each of us has been gifted through the Holy Spirit to do work in the kingdom, for the kingdom, not for ourselves. And we're going to look at that here in our next point. But I want you to understand, God has given you something to work within the body that we can function as a whole. Now, I'm also going to tell you, and I'm going to tell you folks out there on internet land, that God has given you gifts so you can plug into a congregation and fill the gaps where things are missing. I cannot do all things. Many churches bring in a pastor. In fact, I can tell you two stories. The first is this. A church here in Pennsylvania closed the beginning of this year. Why did it close? Because the congregation was aging. The congregation was up in years, and it was down in number. When that church closed, they had just hired a young pastor. His wife came with, and their two children. They hired this young pastor in his 30s because they thought getting this young pastor, he would go out and evangelize the community, and he would bring people into the church. Folks, that's not the way it works. He's not the church. We are the church. Can you say that with me? We are the church. And we have been gifted. Can you say that with me? We have been gifted through the power of the Holy Spirit. And those gifts are not for you to store away. You and I need to understand God wants us using these gifts for what purpose? To bring about the sanctification of all peoples unto the Lord Jesus Christ. I have the gift of gab. That's what I call it. In the scriptures, it says I have the gift of preaching. I call it the gift of gab, because I'll tell you, I can talk a tin ear on a goat. You've also heard me say I can preach for an hour on three words out of the scriptures. And I got one gentleman over here shaking his head. Yeah, you've done that, Pastor. Yes, I have. Because this is how real this stuff is to me. And it wasn't until the Spirit of God dwelt in me that the words, I mean, you know, I have to laugh, because I used to tell Russell when he was little, your mouth runs like a duck's tail. But what I have to remember is the nuts don't fall far from the tree. And now I got a granddaughter who does the same thing. And I laugh because it's the generations. And we see that God uses these things that are inerrant in us, that He gifted us with before we were ever in Christ. And He turns them on that they may be used towards life. I look out here at my congregation. Now, unfortunately, I can't see you out there, but I look at my congregation and I see the gift of helps. I see the gifts of mercy. I see the gifts of hospitality. I see the gifts of spiritual discernment, because I know you where you are. I'm going to tell you right now, there are a couple of you that are evangelists, and you may not think of yourself as such, but I'm around you and I hear you talk, and you're not ashamed of the gospel when you are in the presence of other people. That's the gift of evangelism. And it's an amazing and powerful thing, because it draws people to you. Have you ever noticed that when you use your gifts, the things that God has given you, people come back for that for some strange reason? Because they see a light in you. They see a power in you. They see a drive in you that draws them. And that drive, that power, that light is the Holy Spirit working through you to do good unto this world. You know, there's a lot of people out there who will say to me, I'm a good person. I want it to be said of me that I was a God person. You see, we can miss God by one letter. Oh, really? Yes. What's that letter? Oh. How do you spell good? G-O-O-D. How do you spell God? G-O-D. Only God is good. And we need to understand that. There is no one good, no, not one, for no one seeketh after God. The only people that seek after God are those who have received God into them, because He sought us out. That's why you're here today. And God has given you gifts. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, those gifts that you have, you use them every day in your work. How many of you, and I think it's funny, how many of you are so organized that you know where everything is at every moment of the day? Okay? I know some of you. Okay? OCD is your middle initials. Okay? But that is a gift of God, because we need people like that who are organized, who know where things are, who know where things are picked. If you're like me, it's scattered everywhere. And when I need something, I got to go on a treasure hunt. I need you in my life to help keep things organized. There are folks of you out there who in your everyday work, you are a physical laborer. And in that, you give your all, no matter what. But the amazing thing is, you do the same when it comes to the work of the Lord. So when you're out there giving your all every day, you are truly showing your love and respect of God and what He's given you, and how you're willing to use it for the betterment of your employer, not necessarily yourself. How many of you are driven independently? Okay, there's a couple of folks I'm thinking about here that have their own businesses. And I think about those kind of folks, because if you are not independently driven, is your business going to thrive? Absolutely not. But God has empowered you in such a way that you can vision into the future where things could be or would be, and then he gives you the wherewithal to get there. These things are innate, but when God unlocks them, they are multiplied. For what? For the common good. Did we not read that? For the common good of who? Of mankind, unto the kingdom. When I think about the spiritual gifts that are within this church, I see a multiplicity of things in each and every one of you. I don't know any one of you that only has one spiritual gift. But I will tell you this. I do know several of us here who don't utilize our gifts the way we ought to should. Can I get an amen? I'm looking down. I don't want to see who said that. Because that is something we need to recognize in ourselves. And that leads us to our third portion. Turn in your Bibles, if you will, to the book of Matthew. We're going to be in Matthew 25. And some of you are going to be looking at me and saying, why are we going here? This doesn't have anything to do with spiritual gifts. You know, God's talking about money here. Well, I beg to differ with you because we need to remember one very real and important thing. God's thoughts are not our thoughts, and God's ways are not our ways. His thoughts and his ways are higher than our ways. God uses things that we can all understand to teach us spiritual truths. Can I get an amen? So we're going to read a very familiar parable, but I'm going to interject it in such a way that perhaps you haven't thought of. And if you have, you're on the right path, and I applaud you. But let us read. This is the word of Jesus Christ spoken unto each and every one of us. He was asked when the kingdom would come, what it was going to be like when the kingdom came. And Jesus said, it's going to be like this. And he gave us several parables. Here's one of them. From the 14th verse in the 25th chapter of the book of Matthew, Matthew 25, 14, thus saith the Lord. For it is just like a man about to go on a journey who called his own slaves and entrusted his possessions to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, each according to his own ability, and he went on his journey. Immediately the one who had received 5 talents went and traded with them and gained 5 more talents. In the same manner, the one who had received the 2 talents gained 2 more. But he who received the 1 talent went away and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. The one who had received 5 talents came up and brought 5 more talents, saying, Master, you entrusted 5 talents to me. See, I have gained 5 more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful slave. You are faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. Also, the one who had received the 2 talents came up and said, Master, you have entrusted 2 talents to me. See, I have gained 2 more talents. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful slave. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. Then the one also who had received the 1 talent came up and said, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid, and I went away and hid your talent in the ground. See, you have what is yours. But his master answered and said to him, You wicked, lazy slave. You knew that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have put my money in the bank, and on my arrival I would have received my money back with interest. Therefore, take away that talent from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more shall be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who does not have, even what he does have shall be taken away. Throw out that worthless slave into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Blessed be the word of our Lord. So what does this have to do? It's talking about money. I mean, he specifically says money. What does this have to do with the power of the resurrection? What does this have to do with living in power? God uses the term here, or the ideology of a talent, because it's something we all understand. We understand the value and worth of money. Amen? All of us do. Do you understand the value and worth of the gifts that have been given to you? What it cost to give those gifts to you? And those gifts are the talents that were being spoken of here. Each of us is given according to our ability. To one is given much, to one is given a little bit less, to another is given a little bit less. But if you note, the one who brought five got the same blessing as the one who brought two, because they did according to their faith with what they were given. And when you and I work in accordance to our faith with what we are given, God will bless us. Okay? We will receive that eternal reward that God has blessed us with, because we have multiplied what he has brought to us. We have worked with him and for him. We have gone out into this world just as he came into us. And we have gone out into this world to take that light, to take that power out, and to help others to receive the same. And when we do that, he says, come into my joy. Did you catch those words? Come into my joy. And we all know what the scripture says. In the presence of the Lord is fullness of joy. Better is it to be one day in the courts of the Lord than 1,000 elsewhere. And you and I are going to be in his presence for eternity. Can you imagine the amount of joy you and I are going to have for all eternity? How many of us look for a little bit of joy just every day? Imagine living in joy forevermore, unending. That'd get boring, wouldn't it? No, because we are talking a different type of joy than you and I have ever experienced. We are talking a joy that is ever new, ever refreshing, ever strong, ever pure, ever enduring. It won't go away. That's called eternal bliss. But woe to the one who was given and did nothing but hid it. You know, I've read this and I've read this and I've read this, and the Lord's truly revealed some things to me. Not just to me, he's revealed it to others. It's in commentaries out there. You don't have to think, oh, pastor got a new piece of wisdom. No, I didn't get it. This is an old piece of wisdom revisited. He says, why didn't you put it on usury that I would at least gain interest from it? What does that mean? In the life of the church, in the life of us, we the people, how does that work? What is that even talking about? And this is where I need you folks on the internet to understand. I need to connect with you on this, okay? Because you're out there somewhere else. I don't know where you are. But how do we engage and become part of the church? By getting involved in the church. You know, one of the things I'm going to tell you folks out there, and I've never done this before, but I'm going to do it, and you notice I'm looking at you, not at my congregation. Folks, you can invest in this church. We tithe. We have gifts and offerings. And I'm going to tell you right now, if you're being blessed, you need to be a blessing. That's why I say what I say. And those funds will be used out into the world to bring others to the gospel. We support missionaries throughout the world. You can do that too. But if you would like to become part of the church, please come through the church and let us count you as one in the fellowship. But you and I need to understand, you see, this is what Jesus is talking about. You and I have this place where we can invest. This is the bank. Did you just catch that? This is the bank. Where you don't have to take those gifts outside, because it's scary sometimes to do something new. Can I get an amen? It is scary sometimes to do something new. I don't know if I can do this. Oh, pastor, I'm going to say the wrong things. How do I know what to say? You know, what am I going to do? Do it in church. Nobody here is going to judge you. We're going to love you because you're trying. How many of you are trying right now? Yeah, I'll guarantee you, I'm the most trying person you're ever going to run into. Ask my mother. She told me that all the time. But this is what God is talking about. If you aren't even at least investing it in the church, and you are just squelching that gift, what does he say is going to happen to you? To those who do the work of the gospel, our gifts will grow and our gifts will bring blessing, not only into our lives, but into the lives of everyone around us. And the church, the kingdom of Jesus Christ will grow. That's because that's his work. We just get involved with it. And in that, we find purpose. How many of us want to know what our purpose is? You know, I think it's funny because I'm a preacher and my purpose is to preach, right? No, my purpose is to love God, to love others, and go with the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's your purpose. And in finding that, you find that your personal relationship, God wants to involve you intimately with Him, unto the betterment of all peoples. How many of us would like to have a world that literally believed in morals and values right now? Yeah. Instead of this stuff that they're trying to cram down our throats and tell us that you need to change and believe all this stuff and hold on to this stuff and let me be all this, but you got to shut up and stop. No, wait a minute. That's not right. If I'm supposed to allow you to be you, shouldn't you be allowing me to be me? No, because you're offending me. Well, guess what, folks? You're offending me. And I think it's time the church starts standing up and saying those words, not just cowing down. When Karen blows up, let her blow up and say unto her, that wasn't very nice, and then walk away. Let them deal with who and what they are. And if they won't, God will. But we need to remember, if we don't invest it, if we don't put it into the church at least, what's going to happen? Throw that worthless slave into the outer darkness. Please understand, I'm not saying that. God is saying that. When we reject the power of God in our lives, do you understand we are blaspheming the Holy Spirit? You know, a lot of people will look at me right now. In fact, some of you are like, what? Whoa, wait a minute. You don't have to say something. You can do something or not do something, and it's counted as sin. Can I get an amen, church? And this is what we need to understand. There are so many people who are going to say, but I knew you, Lord. Look what I did in your name. You know, I was in church, and I gave my tithes. I gave my offerings. I said the prayers. I stood up. I sat down. You know, I did all that stuff. Did you ever use the Holy Spirit that was given to you unto the betterment of the church? Did you use the gifts that I gave you? Did you use me? Did you apply me, Him, God, in your life, to the world in any form? And if the answer to that question is no, then utter darkness is going to be our reward. But if by reason we have reasoned with God and we have moved in God, even if it's just in the house of the Lord, we're going to receive blessing. Because I tell you, verily, verily, I say unto you, had this one put it in the bank, he'd have received the same blessing the first two received. Because again, it was according to the measure of his faith that it was given unto him. And God knows what we are able to do far better than we do. And he loves us. I'm telling you right now, and this is funny. You folks out there can't see this, but I'm sure you're looking at me the same way. Very stark right now. It's like, oh my gosh. Yeah, it's that real. He's that real. You see, the power of the resurrection is the power of life. But if we refuse the power of life, what are we? We are merely death in a pretty wrapping. Death still stinketh. Can I get an amen, church? And we need to be about the Lord's work. Start here. in the safe place. And then as you see that interest coming in, perhaps then you will be able to take it outside the church and do the work out there that God wants to have you do. But we've got to start. We have got to understand the power of the resurrection is here for each and every one of us every day of our lives. This weekend, you know, how many of you celebrated the rain yesterday? Oh, my heavens, I've been praying for rain. I know our farmers have been praying for rain. Everybody's saying, well, wait a minute, it's beautiful, everything's blooming, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, but there's very little water out there, so they're using it all up. We need replenishing. We haven't had rain for a little while. And I want you to think about it. It's the same way in your spirit. If we are not applying the power of God to our lives, we become dry and things are going to dry up. What happens in a year when it stops raining and it doesn't rain for a while? We end up in a series of drought, don't we? How many of us are living Christian drought right now? Because we're not applying the things, because the world's telling us to shut up. The world's telling us to go away. The world's telling us we're irrelevant. Well, Jesus Christ says, I have overcome the world. And you and I need to remember the victor's crown is ours. We hail the power of Jesus' name. We don't put it under a bushel. We put it in the window that it may light the world, that everyone in the household may see it, and those who are far away may recognize that light in the dark that they live in. You and I are that resurrection power today and every day. Don't let this world tell you no. We know yes, because his name is yes, Jesus the Christ. Can I get an amen? And with that, I want you to turn to our last scripture today, because I want you to understand, this is not something new, this is old. This is from Psalms, Psalms number 60, because I need us to understand God was delivering this same message years and years and years ago, but we need to have eyes to see and ears to hear, because it is the same message. Jesus Christ is the same message that was preached on the day the world began. And it will be the message. He will be the message on the final day when it all ends. Can I get an amen? From chapter 60 in Psalms, we read these words. I want you to read them with me from 11 and 12. Okay? I want you to read them with me from 11 and 12. Oh, give us help against the adversary. For deliverance by man is in vain. Though God, through God we shall do valiantly, and it is he who will tread down our adversaries. This is exactly the point. God is going to use each and every one of you. In our lives, what we do is in vain because it is simply into and unto the world. But when we work by the power of the Holy Spirit, God's power is going out. God is doing the work. Yes, he's using you because you've yielded yourself to him. You are that slave that we read about from Jesus because you have yielded yourself up to him. And that day will come when he will say unto you, well done, my good and faithful servant. Come in to the joy of your master. Can I get an amen? Let us pray. Father God, we thank you so much that we come to this place of understanding that resurrection power, the Holy Spirit is here to help us, that we would be able to do the work of the kingdom, to bring others to salvation, and to work out our own salvation in fear and trembling, changing us from what was to what now is. And may we grow in that faith because we understand that our work in and of ourselves is vain. But through God we shall do valiantly, and it is you who will tread down our adversaries. Blessed be the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. And the church says, amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.